Time to talk many things Oregon sports. He's the host of Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network, following us after Sports Talk is done right here. The voice of Oregon hoops, the voice of Oregon baseball, working the sidelines for football. On Twitter, it's at Joey Mac UO. Joey McMurray joins us. Joey, how's life treating you these days?
Life is good. It is the overlapping season with basketball and baseball that we are approaching. So I spent today at PK Park getting to know a lot of new faces on the Oregon baseball team. Great baseball weather outside. Really balmy in the Willamette Valley.
I was going to ask, were you hiding in the dugout with a fire going, or were you out there actually checking the guys out playing?
I wasn't playing. If I was playing, then Oregon baseball would be in a much worse position than I think any program in the country. But no, I was out in the dugout a little bit, got a chance to walk around on the field a little bit, talking with some of the guys. And actually, Steve ran our first test up in the broadcast today, making sure that everything is all set and good to go. Yeah, this is the team that looks a little bit more physical this year. I think George Horton's a little bit more excited about this year than he's been in recent years. Seems like a little deeper and a little bit more physical team out there. The offense, I think, is going to be improved, and the pitching staff is one of the best in the country. So there's a lot to look forward to as baseball season approaches, starting next week against Texas Tech.
Yeah, I heard you talking with Coach Horton, especially before the Cal game the other night, before he started shooting T-shirts into the crowd. is it accurate to say that there's not a lot of bones about it? This is a huge season for him as coach, and in some ways, you know, this program moving forward, because they've kind of been spinning their wheels in recent years.
Yeah, definitely. You know, they haven't been as successful as they would like to be in the last couple years. You know, Coach Horton, I think in some cases, Oregon baseball probably got too good too fast a little bit. You know, it was the second year of the program, and they were already in a regional. The rebirth program, and they were already in a regional. And this has been a little bit of a dry spell. Not making it to the postseason the last few years has certainly left a sour taste in Coach Horton's mouth, and I think as a result, a lot of fans' mouth. So, yeah, there's no doubt. This is a critical year. This is a big year, especially with everything going on with Oregon softball. I think that Oregon baseball being successful would certainly be good for the Ducks as a whole and for Duck fans as well. You know, this is a squad that I think has that sort of grind and grit to get back to the postseason, and they have some leaders in a junior class that has not been to the postseason yet that I think really want to get there. So there's certainly a lot on the line, for sure, right? And I think that this is a group that might be able to do it. But, you know, it's obviously optimism season when it's preseason. And once we get into the season, then things get a little more realistic. So we'll see what the Ducks do.
You know, I also, when you were talking with Coach Horton, you know, he obviously lives, eats, and breathes the fundamentals, and said in this league, if you pitch and catch, it gives you a chance. And you mentioned the pitching. So from what you've seen and talked with, you know, maybe Coach Dietrich about, what are we liking about the Duck pitching heading into this season?
Well, Kenyon Yovan can beat anybody in the country. As a Friday night guy, and it's kind of cool that he's a state of Oregon guy from the Portland area, I mean, he can beat anyone in the country. He is that good. Texas Tech's offense is very good, and they're the number 8 team in the country, and he's more than likely going to get the ball in the opener for the Ducks in that game, and I think that's a chance early in the season for him to show just how good he can be. He is legit. He is a potential first-round draft pick, and the Ducks have had a few of those on the mound at Oregon. You know, they had Tyler Anderson. They had David Peterson, and Kenyon Yovan's name, I think, now accompanies them, not just in talent level, but actually in the record books a little bit, too. Kenyon Yovan's approaching some records and is already in the record books, and the only guys above him are David Peterson and Tyler Anderson, with a few of those key statistic pitching categories, particularly with strikeouts. So he's the real deal. And the other guy is Ryan Nelson. Ryan Nelson may have the most impressive arm on the team, but it's just a question of harnessing it. At times, he was lights-out dominant last year, but there were other times where he was a little wild and got himself in trouble. And I think now, with his potential to move into the starting rotation, harnessing that 98-mile-an-hour fastball is going to be the real key for Ryan Nelson. But he's a guy that has been projected in the first and the second rounds of the MLB drafts. And those guys are both juniors. They've been around a little bit. They know what it takes. And I'm just excited to see what a couple preseason All-Americans on the same staff can do. And then behind them, they've got a sophomore named Colin Kafka, who has, by all accounts, been one of the best players on this team throughout the fall and now heading in to the start of the season, he's been the real deal. And I feel like we saw glimpses of that last year in his freshman campaign. But Colin Kafka may have the key to Oregon's season in his right arm, because if he's really good behind those two potential All-Americans and preseason All-Americans, then the Ducks pitching staff is one of the best in the country. You couple that with a few young arms that they hope can do good things in the bullpen, and guys like Colby Summers and Cole Stringer, a couple lefties who have pitched a lot for the Ducks, both have been starters. If Colby Summers and Cole Stringer are winning all the Tuesday games, and then you have the aforementioned rotation on the weekend, I think there's a lot to like with Oregon, and that's why there's a lot of optimism around this program this year, with especially from a national perspective, not just around the state of Oregon.
Yeah, I'm talking Duck Sports with Joey Mack. I want to get to something I heard you talking with Jody last night. We've had her on the show. She's just so super sharp and wired into things most of us can't even begin to delve into. So what did she have to say as far as compliance about the new early signing period in December, and maybe how it impacts her job, and maybe how it actually impacted Wednesday, you know, the more traditional signing day?
Yeah, for sure. It's been a huge change. Jody Sykes, Chief Compliance Officer, I often call her the walking encyclopedia
right.
at Oregon. And you know, it's really the truth, because there's so many nuances and just so many different things that go on behind the scenes of college athletics that, you know, Steve, I'm fascinated by it. I know a lot of fans sometimes just want to hear what's happening on the field, what's happening on the court. But I love just talking about some of the amazing things that go on behind the scenes. And Jody's a real resource for that. And the compliance office is one of those that there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. And as it pertains to signing day, it's really changed the way that her job operates. You know, national letters of intent coming in, it used to be on the fax machine. I've joked with her about that frequently. And now there's just so many different ways that these national letters of intent, the NLIs as they're often abbreviated, come in to Oregon compliance and the rest of the country. And really the December period, I think, has made things a little easier for everybody around the country, particularly in compliance. That was something that Jody mentioned, that, you know, it's actually really nice that there's so many different ways to sort of properly cross the T's and dot the I's, that it's made the compliance world a little, with adding this later signing period in addition to now the early signing period, it's definitely changed the way that recruiting operates. Maybe the most important thing from a fan perspective, and most interesting thing I thought from my conversation with Jody on the show yesterday, is that she brought up with this transfer portal, and that's been the thing that's been getting so many headlines around the entire country, with all of these student-athletes that are in this new transfer portal. And she actually said that it's made things a lot easier for, I think, athletic departments around the country, and she said particularly with her job, because now she doesn't have to go write letters to 15 different schools for 15 different student athletes,
right,
releasing them and granting them permission to go talk to everybody. And the portal has made things a little bit easier for the student athlete. And I know some fans get upset that means that there's more transfers, and transfers have always been a hot button topic in college athletics. What's the right way to do it? In my opinion, the whole thing is supposed to be about the student athletes and what's best for the student-athletes. And, you know, frankly, Steve, myself and everybody else that works for an athletic department around the country don't have jobs if it's not for those student-athletes. So we should probably do our best and do what's best for them to take care of their best interests. And I think this transfer portal is kind of a reflection of that. And that's a little bit of what Jody had said, is it makes things easier for the student-athlete and the coaches. It takes a big weight off the compliance offices from having to deal with all the paperwork as it relates to transfers, and I just think overall it's a good thing. But no, I'm glad you brought it up, Steve. Jody Sykes and the Oregon Compliance Office, they do a great job, and there's an awful lot that they have to keep track of, and they do a great job.
No, every time you speak with her, I feel like I get an education. So now that the letters of intent are signed, you're legally allowed to speak about the players without getting a call from Jody. So when you think about, Joey, what happened in December, the trio of defenders added on Wednesday, so what's the buzz about around the athletic department, in essence, regarding what Coach Cristobal and his staff have landed as they're now trying to push this program back upward?
Well, it's certainly a big deal, and I think that it's worth a lot of discussion that this is the best class in program history. And you know, star rankings and ratings and recruiting classes and all those things, that it's not the only thing that matters in college football, for sure. But the numbers don't lie, that the programs around the country that have consistently had the best recruiting classes are the ones that are holding the trophies at the end of the year. Certainly, there's a lot of development that goes into that, but it's also a talent evaluation thing and making sure you get the right guys into the program. And Coach Cristobal and his staff really feel like they did that this year. It's the top-rated class in program history, and you have the number one recruit in the country that is signed to your class, and that's Kayvon Thibodeau, who's already on campus. Folks who were up in Portland for the big signing day event on Wednesday with Jerry Allen and Neil Everett and King, they got to see firsthand what Kayvon Thibodeau is like. And Jerry and I talked with Keith Hayward, who was the point man on Kayvon Thibodeau's recruiting, and Keith Hayward said, you know, a lot of people follow him on social media, and that's really him. It's not an act. That's really the kind of guy that he is, and what he does on the field is everybody can see watching him and his highlights. He's an impressive player, and I think he fills the void left by Jalen Jones and Justin Holland as a pass rusher and a solid defender on the edge. He fills that hole right away for the Ducks as a freshman, and it's going to be interesting and pretty amazing to just see what he can do. And Coach Cristobal also said that in the later signing period, they had a guy, they had one position that they needed to hit on, and they did hit on it, getting Christian Williams, the defensive tackle, who committed to the Ducks on Wednesday. And he was the one guy the Ducks wanted and the one position that they needed to fill, and feels like they hit the nail on the head there. So it was definitely a defense-heavy class. They brought in some depth, I think, defensively, and the wide receiver position is one I know that was heavily scrutinized by fans. And
oh, yeah.
They also brought in a few tall receivers and some quick receivers that can fill in. You might see a couple freshmen contributing at the receiver position. So overall, it's a pretty balanced class, and I think that fans should be pretty excited. And again, top recruiting class in program history, that's saying something.
Sure is. Let's wrap with a couple of hoop questions. I heard you talking with Dana Altman before Cal, and at various times this year, and I guess to call it a study in inconsistency has been accurate, but would it be fair to say that Coach seems to be maybe in a constant battle getting certain points across to this young team, be it focus on rebounding or taking better care of the ball?
Well, and he's made no bones about that, that he's had a hard time getting that group to buy into those things. And, you know, I don't know what the solution is, but certainly Coach Altman has talked about it a lot, that there's a lot of things that this team doesn't do well, and there's a lot of things that this team hasn't really grown as fast as he and I'm sure they would like. Particularly, I think it really comes down to rebounding and taking care of the basketball. The Ducks at times have been good at that, but you always hear Coach Altman say the team that rebounds is the team that wins the game. And the other thing that's come up with our conversations recently has been fighting the dribble. You know, when Kenny Wooten was out, the Ducks had a hard time keeping teams out of the paint because Kenny Wooten wasn't there to clean up the mess that sometimes was left by the guards. And now with Kenny Wooten back, he is getting those big blocks. He had four against Cal, but Coach Altman has talked about how they're not fighting the dribble well enough, and they're letting guys get into the paint, and then as a result, no one rotates down to help Kenny Wooten, and
yep.
That contributes to when Kenny gets into foul trouble. And it's just sort of this vicious circle, and I think that's just one example of the many things the coach is trying to kind of hammer into this group, and for whatever reason just hasn't been able to yet. And who knows, maybe they'll turn the corner. Coach Altman, traditionally, after Valentine's Day, the Ducks in his tenure have been arguably the best team in the Pac-12 after Valentine's Day, and maybe that'll be the case this year, but certainly they need a few things to click, and there's been a number of things that he's hit on, including what we talked about today, that the team just hasn't seemed to get it going the way that he would like, I guess.
Yeah, no, and the wiggle room is all but evaporated. One last thought, Joey. One of the mysteries this season, it appeared that Peyton Pritchard shot when AWOL. I don't know if he was trying to shoulder too much of a burden, but he went ice cold for like 6 weeks. But any sense as this team is growing together, he might have snapped out of it a bit because Wednesday night, he was the best player on the floor.
Yeah, and especially with the 10 rebounds. You know,
yep.
I thought that was maybe the most impressive part. It's one thing for him to score, and certainly Oregon's offense is much more effective when their best shooter, at least from the percentages the Ducks track in practice, he is their best shooter, and if he's not hitting in games, it certainly changes the way things for Oregon, or certainly changes things for Oregon in the way that their offense and their entire team operates. I think that he has put a lot of pressure on himself, and Coach Altman has said that he's been guilty himself of putting too much pressure on Peyton Pritchard, but at the same time, I think every competitor wants that pressure, and I think Peyton's done his best to embrace it, but maybe at times he has tried to do too much. You know, I think personally, in my opinion, he's at his best when he's off the ball and he doesn't have to create and distribute as much. I think Will Richardson is Oregon's best option as the distributor, as the penetrator and kick guy, and I think Peyton Pritchard's at his best when he doesn't have to worry about that kind of stuff, and that's where maybe he was being asked to do too much early in the season, and it seems like the Ducks have utilized Will Richardson more as the point guard, so Peyton Pritchard can be more of the off-ball scorer, and I think that contributed to Peyton going off against Cal, and they're certainly going to need it against Stanford. Stanford's a team that if Peyton Pritchard's not hitting shots, I think Stanford can come into Mathew-Knight Arena and beat Oregon because they get to the rack. They're the kind of team that against Oregon, the Ducks have not fought the dribble all that well, as we alluded to and Coach Altman's talked about. Stanford's a team that likes to get to the rack, and they'll drive by. So with that being said, the Ducks are going to need some of those key buckets from Peyton Pritchard, and maybe he has settled into a little bit of a groove. I asked him on the postgame show after he went off against Cal, you know, what happened. He said, well, and he kind of paused, and he said, well, you know, I think sometimes you just have to concentrate on shooting, and that's what he did against Cal. And I think having the extra pressure taken off of him certainly has made a difference, and hopefully it continues if you're a Duck fan.
All right. Good stuff, Joey. Covered a lot. He is Joey Mack. He'll be coming at you Sunday with the Oregon IMG pregame after we wrap up. Stanford's at Mathew-Knight Arena. You can follow Joey on Twitter. Use the handle at Joey Mack UO. Joey, I know you got a lot going on. Really appreciate you taking some time to share with us, my friend. And obviously, I'll see you, and we'll talk soon.
Anytime, Steve. Always happy to do it. Take it easy.
All right. Have a great weekend.